so dazzlingly shite that it actually sounds ironic and a bit John Lennon-ish. Basically, you can do what you fucking well like. You can have it as large as you fancy. But you can't if you're sober. Like, if you're kidding yourself, you're on the wagon. So, as I live and breathe, God save me from ever being sober at the Brits, which is why, as of this moment, seeing as how I've definitely gone straight and I'm here talking to you lot at this meeting, I have sworn I will never go to another one. Mind you, I said the same thing last year, didn't I? The Paget household, Dalston. Peter Paget stared at his wife. She stared back at him. In all their years of marriage, never had they felt such a bond. Never had they been so alive together, locked in union as a single force. They knew that the decision they had just made would change their lives forever, their lives and their daughters' lives. It would certainly bring down untold anger and contempt upon Peter's head. It would cost him the party whip and almost inevitably his job come the next election. The path that he had chosen led directly to professional ruin. You have to do it, Pete. I'm proud of you. Really, really proud. The girls will be too when we tell them. Oh, sure. Hey, girls, your dad's going to make himself unemployed and unemployable on a point of hopeless principle. They won't see things that way, and you know it. No, I suppose not. They're good girls. Smart-ass little cows, of course, but good deep down. Smart-ass is in the genes, Peter. Your side, of course. It's why most of the party hates you so much. This was true. Peter was too clever to succeed within the party, or at least too clever but without the essential ability to disguise the fact. Clever is fine in politics as long as you know how to act stupid. Peter never had. He believed passionately in his political ideals and argued them with a strength and intelligence that were bound to alienate less gifted and less principled colleagues in a lacklustre world of parliamentary politics. He had entered Parliament as a 26-year-old bright spark. A spark that had grown steadily duller over the years until he had become what he was now, a 40-something didn't quite. Despite his skills and his firm belief in the principles for which he stood, or perhaps because of them, he had failed to circumnavigate the Labour Party machine. The greasy pole had proved too slippery, and his irritatingly well-cut trousers had remained firmly glued to the back benches. Angela crossed the room and sat beside Peter on the couch. She put her arm around him, and he rested his head on her shoulder. "To be honest," she said, "I think they'll withdraw the whip simply for what you've done already. I heard there's a book in the tea room on how many days you've got left in the party." "Well, for God's sake! If ever there was a wrong-headed, half-assed, bound-to-fail, pointless bit of bad lawmaking, it's this drugs initiative. Decriminalising pot is never going to work. It just makes the police look like headless chickens and gives the gangsters more room to manoeuvre. The Home Secretary is being pathetic, so is the PM." "Yes, so you've said. Astonishing that they don't like you, isn't it?" "Yes, well, they don't represent the people of Dalston, do they? The whole bloody borough of Hackney is collapsing under the strain of the drug culture. A drug culture the law has created. I know, darling, I know." Like many a person of principle, Peter was as happy to preach to the converted as to the sceptical. He had been making the same point all evening, and Angela agreed with him absolutely. She shared his anger at the utter failure of drug policy to protect communities from becoming criminalised ghettos. She supported him in his lone voice objections to the decriminalisation of cannabis, not because it went too far, but because it did not go far enough, and she supported him completely in the decision that they had made together regarding the opportunity that fate had placed in their hands. Each year, Parliament allows a single backbench MP to introduce a private member's bill on a subject of their own choosing. A small sop to those who believe the 2.5-party machine is designed to strangle initiative and crush the spirit of the creative individual. The lucky recipient of this honour is chosen by lottery, and normally the spotlight falls upon a non-entity who makes an idiot of himself and little or no career glory follows. This year, however, Lady Luck had chosen well. Or at least so Peter and Angela Paget felt, for she had chosen Peter, and they were certain that he had the talent to use this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to propel the greatest issue of the age to the very forefront of public consciousness. Peter and Angela Paget had that evening decided that Peter's private member's bill would propose that Parliament immediately legalise all recreational drug use, not just decriminalising pot, not just